This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Good News in Real Estate or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. This program has been pre-recorded.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Your hosts for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes,
Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris. And there's the crowd. How are you, Deanne?
I'm doing great.
We're excited to be here every Saturday at 1 o'clock on WPHT Talk Radio, the number one talk station in Philly. If you want to ask us a question or about commercial, residential, real estate, mortgages, we always answer. Give me a call. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
We're here every week to keep you informed. We're the only real estate show in Philly. This is going into our 16th year. You can listen to this show and past shows at our webpage, goodnewsinrealestate.com, and also at WPHT's website. So what's coming up today?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the market report.
Yes.
We have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Yeah, the series going on.
We have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
We have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is what?
Buying in a historically low inventory market.
Yep. And that's where we're at.
That's where we're at is right. All right, Mark. So, and stay tuned because that's going to be an awesome topic. Mark and I are going to talk about it and give you the pros and the cons. So we also have our questions coming up. And the first one is, I put my house up for sale on my company's website and got a buyer. Now they want to bring in a real estate agent into the mix. Do I have to pay the realtor?
Good question.
Next question is, I just started a new job in a different line of work. Is there any way I can get a mortgage? Next question is, I need to know how to calculate closing costs.
That's a common one.
That's what I'm here for. The next question is, what happens to the note when a seller who has financed a house dies before the note matures?
Huh.
Mark, today, our topic of the day is, what is a good cap rate and how do I calculate it?
Yeah, people always ask me about this. I'll explain it a little bit today.
Yeah, that's going to be a good topic. But first, give us your motivational quote.
And a motivational quote is, there's nothing wrong with being content with where you are. But if you have a nagging voice in your head to tell you to just go, then do it. Got to take a chance to be free, man. Take no chances, no biscuit, right?
No risk it, no biscuit.
So where are we at?
So, Mark, we are up to the market report.
And there is the bell. So more clarity on the course that the rates could unfold in the Federal Reserve. They meet this month coming up. And despite the central bank's projection of potential rate cuts, I just wish these people would stay a little more quiet. You know, we don't need them talking all the time. But, you know, the risk of a dangerous – and inflation just went up. I watched that speech by the president saying, yeah, inflation's down. Inflation just went up.
We're in a great economy.
6.9% in Philly Metro, over 7% in Florida. You know, so the rate cuts are going to help, but they might be a little too late, too little. I mean, I don't know what they're waiting for. Discover your home price range, you know, so the week ending March 2nd experienced a whopping 19.9% more properties actively. Now, this is nationwide, actively coming onto the market. Now, the one thing you got to remember about these nationwide reports, that's not Philly Metro.
Right.
Even though we're on Odyssey. In our area, it's down. We went from 4,400 actives a couple months ago down to 2,400 actives. We're actually less people on the market.
And Mark, so that's what we're going to cover on my mortgage mom topic. So stay tuned because it's, you know, we have to change the narrative.
Yeah. So they actually nationwide, the number of newly listed homes fresh to the market rose 17.4% for the week ending March 2nd, marking a 19-week straight upward. This got to be in California, New York, and New Jersey. That's the only place I can see where they're getting tons because that's where everybody's fleeing. It's California is number one, Jersey's two, and New York is three, where everybody's flying out of. So, you know, hopefully we're going to get more stuff on the market, and that means more options and more buyers. The one thing that Biden did talk about was trying to help all these buyers, and he was bragging about it. But the downside of that is if you throw a bunch of buyers and give them tax breaks, and you don't have any inventory, prices go up. It's common economics. Lack of inventory, prices go up. So, you know, home buyers are worried about the mortgage rates, can at least take comfort in some areas that prices are stalled, like New York. New York, I think prices are starting to drop a little bit. I'm seeing a little more of that. Jersey, maybe a little bit, but not Pennsylvania. We're still on the rise. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I watched that whole speech and that's not what I expected because usually the State of Union address and I, you know, the public doesn't follow what's going on here. That's the problem. The State of Union address, they're supposed to give you the good news, the bad news, tell you what their projections are, what they're going to do and make you feel better about it. That turned into a rally, a Democrat rally. Which, you know, he mentioned Trump 13 times. What does Trump have to do with a State of the Union address? And then it was a giant spending plan, $5 trillion, which is not going to pass. All that was like campaign stuff. And, you know, you got to vote with your – I don't care about the party. I vote with my wallet or you should vote with your pocketbook because it's that kind of – you need to know what's going on before you just think, oh, I like him. He's a good guy. That has nothing to do with our finances and our business. I mean, I don't know. I was very disappointed. I just thought it was going to be a regular State of Union address and talk about something significant, and it wasn't. It was a damn campaign rally. But you got to be careful. Do some research before you go voting, you know, see what they really stand for. Tell us about the rates, though.
So, Mark, the rates, I mean, again, it's still an awesome time to buy. You're looking at your 30-year fixed on a conventional at 6.875. Your 15-year fixed is at 6.5. Your 30-year FHA is at 3.375, along with your VA loan. So we're not in the sevens. We're not in the eights. No. It's a great time to refinance, and it's an even better time to purchase.
And there's 48% of Philly that's renting. Mike McCann, a friend of ours, had a video on Facebook I saw today, and he was talking about how much cheaper it is to buy. If you're paying $2,000 a month to rent, that's a $400,000 house in Philly, and you're probably going to pay about $1,800 a month. It's definitely cheaper to buy. And 48%, and they're projecting rents to go up 6.7% in the upcoming year. So, I mean, that's not going to happen if you got a locked in mortgage rate.
Agreed.
And you're going to add, you're going to appreciate, you're going to keep adding value to your house probably for the next 5 or 6 years. I don't see this appreciation coming down because there's no inventory.
There's no inventory. And it's not going to happen overnight. So you're right. It is going to be a long-term equity builder because even if everybody put their house on the market today, we're not going to catch up to where we need to be.
No, and they're 5 million behind on building houses because all the builders have been building apartment buildings. So, you know, because the rents are so great. I mean, it's like that, what I'm going to talk about today, that cap rate, that return on investment, man, you get a better return on investment on rental units than flipping. So, and that's long term. That's a pension. All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News from Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive all the time. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours.
If you're planning on listing your home for sale, get your home updated and don't pay anything until the house sells. Really, it's that simple. Curbio, your first stop with your agent before you list the property and your one stop for getting everything from painting and flooring to full home renovations. Go to Curbio.com, sell your home for a higher list price, and realize an average 215% return on investment. It's stress-free, it's turnkey, and the process is easy. Go to Curbio.com.
Philadelphia Real Estate Classes, the premier real estate school in Philadelphia, has been voted one of the top five real estate schools in Pennsylvania. And it's no wonder. They offer live streaming and live instructor online courses to get your real estate license. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Total cost, only $4.99, including the book. Day, night, and weekend courses are available. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Get your license now.
Green Tree Mortgage invites you to connect with the Mortgage Mom, Deanne Katsaros, the co-host of Good News in Real Estate and a five-star real estate expert in the Delaware Valley. Let the Mortgage Mom answer your questions, help you with a mortgage, provide answers for you about your current home, while always educating you about home ownership, including home purchase and finance options. Deanne Katsaros, the Mortgage Mom, NMLS 143589. Click MortgageMom.net. That's MortgageMom.net.
All right. Welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive all the time. So we're at the end.
So, Mark, we are up to your funny story.
So I got one for you, especially with this economy and economists and all that. So this mathematician, an accountant, and an economist apply for the same job. The interviewer calls in the mathematician and he asks, what do 2 + 2 equal? And the mathematician replies, 4. The interviewer asks, 4 exactly. The mathematician looks at the interviewer and says, like, yeah, it's 4 exactly. The interviewer calls in the accountant and asks him the same question. What does 2 + 2 equal? And the accountant says, on average, 4, give or take 10%. But on average, 4. The interviewer calls the economist and poses the same question. What does 2 + 2 equal? The economist gets up, looks around, closes the door, sits down close to the interviewer and says, what do you want it to equal? that's how they fudge the numbers.
That's exactly right.
He would tell you what you want to hear.
If you have a funny story, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And now it is time for the Mortgage Mom segment with Deanne Katsaris from the largest mortgage company in the world, Green Tree Mortgage. And our topic today is buying in this historically low inventory market.
Yeah. So, Mark, we talked about last week how my son is looking to purchase a home in New Jersey.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a plan. He's got a 5-year plan. But there's no inventory. And when there is inventory, you know, there's probably between 12, 15 offers that are going in on one property. There was this one house that he just absolutely fell in love with. Couldn't stop thinking about it. This was the one. And we actually knew who the listing agent was. So we were able to have a little bit of a conversation, you know, still staying compliant, of course. But when we found out that there was 75 people that came through the door for an open house, and there was probably half of that were offers, and we put in a really strong offer. I mean, there was no reason, but they ended up taking a cash offer. My point to this topic today is You know, a lot of people that I talk to out there, and I'm on the phone constantly talking to my past database and to first-time home buyers, and it all boils down to people not wanting to give up that 2-3% interest rate that they refinanced, you know, back during COVID, keeping in mind that that is when the country was in a crisis. We are never going to be at that interest rate again.
No.
I make prediction all the time, but I can 100% assure you that we will never be there again.
And I don't think we'll be in the threes. I think there's a possibility low fives.
Exactly.
Maybe a high four down the road.
Okay. All right. We can go.
But you're never getting 2.6 again. That's
you're never happening. You're never getting there. You're never getting there. But the problem is, you know, we look at the home buyers, and this is why there's not a lot of inventory. Does the home that you're living in still fit your lifestyle? Are you paying that 2-3% interest rate to be unhappy? Right? What's your electric bill? What's your gas bill? What's your, you know, what are your credit card debts? All of these things have to come into play. You need to take out pen and paper, and your mortgage payment is a very small portion, right? It has weight, but it's a very small portion to what your overall plan is. So let's say, you know, you tell me all the time, like, it's crazy that I'm paying the taxes that I'm paying. And when my son finds a house, you know, it's going to be a different story. But right now it works. I have a 2.5% interest rate. But what I've been preaching to my clients and on the radio and on podcasts and seminars, you know, is basically that payment means nothing if I can sell my house, pay off all of my credit card debt, right? I harp on this all the time. The average household has about $96,000 in debt. And if you don't agree with that, let's just cut it in half. Let's just say, you know, it's $47,000 in debt that you're never going to pay off if it's credit card debt.
And 40% of the country doesn't have a mortgage.
Right.
And they're still sitting.
Right. But if you could sell your house, pay off all your debt, right? All of your debt, your car payment, your credit card debt, your student loans. And at the end of the day, you had a positive cash flow of, let's just even be conservative and say it's $3,000 a month. What are you going to do with that extra $3,000 a month? That's including your new mortgage payment at 6.5% interest. You've put money down on the house. You've paid off all of your debt. You're living in a home that now fits your lifestyle and makes you happy, which is priceless to begin with. But now you have that extra money to either, maybe you don't have an emergency fund, right? If something happens, maybe you don't have the retirement plan that you want to fund like you should. Well, here's a couple $1,000s extra. Go on a vacation.
Yeah. I mean, enjoy your life a little bit.
That you want to do instead, you know, having that pressure of all that debt. But when we do that analysis for people and we show them what their new plan is going to look like, the majority don't even ask me what the interest rate is, because it's your overall financial plan. And that's what people need to look at. And it doesn't cost anything to find out what that plan could possibly look like. You know, we can let you know how much your house will roughly sell for, how much you're going to net, all the bills that we can pay off. And then let's do a mortgage payment on a house in an area that fits your lifestyle. Maybe you want to move to Florida. Maybe you want to get a duplex and live in there and have passive income. I mean, the opportunities are endless, but Mark, if you don't ask,
the answer is no. Plus, the house that you're going to buy, even though it has a higher rate, it's going to keep going up in value.
Right.
And that's, you came to my class. I did my $0 to $20 million coaching session in the class, and you talked about this. And I was talking to the realtors, And they were, and the real estate agents are always, when you try to recruit a real estate agent to your office, their first question is, what's the split? Realtors are on 50-50, 60-40, 70-30s. And they got their focus, tunnel vision on this. What's the split? Well, what's 100% of zero? Zero. So it's the same scenario. You know, the interest rate in the end is not that, it's a small part of the whole picture. I mean, if you're happy, you moved, you upside, you went up, you went down, bigger, smaller, whatever, what neighborhood you want to be. There's a million reasons. But like in the end, after a while, you're going to pay that mortgage and then you're not going to worry about that rate.
Agreed. You know?
I mean, it's like, I think most of this is just lack of knowledge and people not knowing what's going on with the economy. Like they go shopping. Oh, you know, and food's up 25%. So every time they go shopping, they're like, "Oh my God, it's so expensive." So they probably automatically consider that to the real estate market. You know, not knowing the real estate market's basically fine. It's a good, great. It's still a great time to buy, but it's the best time in history to sell. But if I sell, am I going to be able to find a house? Yes. You will find a house. There was more houses sold last year than the year before, even with all this going on.
Exactly. But again, you need to take pen to paper. I guess the millennials can do it on the computer on an Excel spreadsheet. But put everything down, what your bills are, what they are now, and if you sell, what they could be. And you're going to find yourself in a much better position. Just forget about the interest rate. There's no prepayment penalty. We can refinance again in 6 to 8 months, but you gotta have a plan, and it can't just be with blinders on it because you know, you're not helping the economy. You're not helping yourself. And if you don't ask, the answer is no. And we keep saying that, but that's, you know, it's legitimately the truth. Just get a consultation and have a discussion with somebody.
Hey, it doesn't cost you anything to have a meeting and talk about
it. It doesn't cost anything. You can reach out. You can schedule an appointment on my website at mortgagemom.net. You can call me directly at 609-605-7153. But just ask.
Yeah, get in the game. What do you got to lose?
Right.
All right. That was a good topic. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, all positive all the time. We'll be back with the questions and answers from the audience.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account. We're member-owned and offer all the services you're looking for, like mobile banking and free ATM withdrawals. Visit our website at pfcu.com. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Green Tree Mortgage invites you to connect with the Mortgage Mom, Deanne Katsaros, the co-host of Good News in Real Estate and a five-star real estate expert in the Delaware Valley. Let the Mortgage Mom answer your questions, help you with a mortgage, provide answers for you about your current home, while always educating you about home ownership, including home purchase and finance options. Deanne Katsaros, the Mortgage Mom, NMLS 143589. Click mortgagemom.net. That's mortgagemom.net.
Philadelphia Real Estate Classes, the premier real estate school in Philadelphia, has been voted one of the top five real estate schools in Pennsylvania. And it's no wonder. They offer live streaming and live instructor online courses to get your real estate license. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Total cost, only $4.99, including the book. Day, night, and weekend courses are available. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Get your license now. This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
So, Mark, we are up to our question and answer segment. Right. And our first question is, I put an ad to sell my house on my company website. It was not listed anywhere else, not even a sign in the yard. Someone from my company responded to the ad the same day and that they looked at, and they came and they looked at the house. They called back and said they were very interested in the house, but wanted to bring their sister and their real estate agent back to see it since they had never bought a house before. Any suggestions on how to handle this? I don't feel it's fair for me to pay the buyer's agent when they had nothing to do with helping the buyer find this property.
This is just what you were talking about with this market. This guy put an ad on his in his company's website and the house is gone. And the thing with the buyer agent, I mean, you know, the buyer brought that agent. So yeah, that might be the agent, this seller, I would just say, listen, if you want him to write the contract, you pay him. Because I didn't list this thing with an agent. So, but you want somebody, the seller might want somebody on their side. Otherwise, they're not represented here. But if this buyer agent is going to handle the whole deal, they have a little bit of a duty to be, at least fiduciary, to be fair. But, you know, this is like a for sale by owner. The problem is, you know, the seller, you know, how much he probably knows not much about real estate. That contract's supposed to hold up in court. Like, who's going to review that for him? If I was him, I would hire an agent on my side and work out a reasonable commission. You don't have to give him full, you know, 6% or something.
Negotiate it, right.
Hey, you negotiate something, but I would want somebody on my side, you know, just to protect me. And don't hire a lawyer, because the lawyer is going to, like, don't just do the same thing. Hire a good agent, come in. In that situation, I would say to him, listen, I'll handle this for you 2%. I give him a break, 2 or 3% instead of like the 6%.
Yeah, you know? That's the great way to do it. Like, there was a gentleman, I actually talked about him on the show last week, where he's buying a duplex and he wanted his payment to be, you know, at a certain number. And when I told him it was even $1,000 less than that because he was purchasing a duplex and the other side could be rented out. He wasn't being represented by an agent and the seller didn't have an agent. So I suggested that he get, you know, what we call a transactional coordinator, you know, get an agent to just actually do the listing, write up the paperwork, you know, and kind of guide him through it. So
a transactional agent. So you got somebody in the middle. I've done tons of them and, you know, and you can be fair with both sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can actually even make it to a dual agency if you wanted to.
Right.
Which I never have a problem with dual agent, because if you're ethical, you're ethical. You can't teach ethics.
You can't teach
all ethics. The boards and the real estate commissions and all that. You got to be, we're going to have an ethics class. You know what? If you got somebody unethical, I don't care what you tell them.
Right. You know,
what's the next one?
And you had brought that up in your class, Mark. And again, thank you. It was an honor to be there. The class was awesome. As always, you do a great job teaching. And anybody that's out there looking to get into the business, I mean, Philadelphia Real Estate Classes is the only place to go. It's live instruction. It was an open forum. And the information that Mark and his other teachers give is, you can't even put a price tag on that. So when you get
Agent that our friend Kevin O'Shea stopped by just for to get pumped up, and he was really pumped up after that class. He loved talking to them new students.
Yeah.
And he was really enjoyed it.
And he's got a lot of great advice to give as well. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he wants to teach now.
And he should. He'd be really good at it.
I know he'd be good at it.
Yeah.
What's the next
question is, I just started a new job in a different line of work. Is there any way I can get a mortgage? That's just really an open-ended question. I need a lot more information. The answer to that is yes. But again, it's not black and white. We've got to find out what kind of business you're in, how long you've been on the job. You know,
what kind of job it is. If you're from a W-2 job to a 1099 job, that might be an issue.
Exactly. But I'd be happy to, you know, to go through it with you and answer any questions that you might have. You know, another option would be a cosigner. So there are a lot of options, but there's actually a lot more information that I would need in order to give an answer. So it's a definite maybe.
Yeah. What's the next one?
All right. The next question is, I need to know how to calculate closing costs.
I used to get ballpark figures because most people don't know about this. And there's all kind of, like, you could go to Deanne's site. She has a mortgage calculator. But, like, general rule of thumb, you know, you probably need about 9-10% of what the cost of the property is, maybe less. It's just, you know. But this is another thing. There's all kinds of programs. There's first-time homebuyer programs. There's seller assist. Even in this market, you can do seller assist. I hear agents, you can't do seller's assist in a seller's market. Yes, you can, especially with things appreciating. If you got a $400,000 house and you know it'll appraise for $420,000 and you ask for $10,000 in seller assist and the buyers are still netting what $400,000, they're going to go okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's doable in any market. There's always a way to bring down closing costs.
And the closing costs, you have to be careful because, you know, not every – there's transfer taxes, there's escrows, there's title insurance. You just have to be careful. So don't calculate your own closing costs. Just go to your agent or go to your loan officer and – it's a matter of
let them do it.
I mean, they're
and how I do it with Deanne, I give her a buyer, tell her pre-approve them as high as they can go, and then we figure out what they want to pay monthly, and then we figure out what that is, and then that's how we shop.
Right.
But it's all done in advance, and I don't do anything until she calls me up and says they're good to go. I got everything, their tax returns, W-2s, everything, bank statements, and now they're ready to buy. Because I'm not wasting my time going around showing people houses that are not ready, especially in this market.
Agreed.
What's the next one?
All right. The next question is, what happens to the note when a seller who has financed a house dies before the note matures?
Well, that happens all the time. I mean, there's a mortgage out there. Hopefully there's a will. Hopefully they did some things to make it easier for the people that are surviving this thing. You know, it's like, I remember that one I told you about, the one that these friends of mine, I was talking to them in a bar, and both parents had put the house in Fox Shoes.
Right.
And they basically paid the mortgage down to like a few thousand dollars, and they both died. And nobody in the family wanted to deal with it. And they were like, well, we're going to give it back to the bank. I was like, what? I said, the bank don't want it.
And again, Mark, that's just lack of knowledge.
Yeah, big time lack of mine. So I told him, I'll buy it off you.
Yeah.
And they were like, really? I said, yeah, I'll give you $1,000 a month. You could do that? Yeah, we could settle in 2 weeks. You know, it's like, really? What's the next one?
All right, the next question is, who can I talk to about a property that has gone back to the bank but is not listed with a realtor yet?
Yeah, that's a tough. Now, that all depends on what kind of bank it is. You know, so somehow they found out this house is in foreclosure and they are interested in getting it. But foreclosure, this is a tough market for finding foreclosures.
For sure.
Because foreclosure rate is really low. The average foreclosure rate in the United States is 3-4%. In the worst market in history in 08, it was 5.1%. It wasn't 50%. It wasn't 60%. It was 5.1. Right now, it's at 1.1%. So there's not that many foreclosures going on. So you can get a hold of the bank, call them, and you're going to probably have to make a lot of calls and go through a lot of people to see what they're doing with this. But the banks have, they're not in a rush. Like when people are buying a foreclosure, I remember back in the day, remember when there was a bunch of them?
Yeah.
And they would go on for like a year. I was involved in one. We put the deal in and they told us to get back. It took them so long. About 8 months later, my people already bought a house, moved in. They were all comfortable. Bank called me up and said, we're ready. I said, ready for what? We're done.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you just want to buy this house? Yeah. Well, it took you like 8 months. 8 months we gave you an offer.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, be careful what you get involved in. And it really depends what
it does. And it's really hard to try to get a hold of somebody and to go through the process. A lot of times they have attorneys that deal with it specifically. So, You know, if you know. Yeah.
I remember a bunch of realtors telling me they wanted to be foreclosure experts, and they're no longer around. That's like for sale by owners. I'm going to be a for sale by owner expert. Yeah.
How's that work?
Let's see how that works out.
I was going to say, how's that working out?
I know one. We had a good friend, remember? And some coach coached him into being a for sale by owner expert, and he is no longer a realtor.
Around, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that was not all good. Coaches are good. They're like everybody else.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I always wonder. I see all these people on LinkedIn and Facebook. Everybody's a coach. Like, if you're so great at this, why are you doing all this coaching?
Yeah, dude. You know, coming up on our topic of the day, Mark, which is going to be what is a good cap rate and how to calculate it. Stay tuned, because anybody that's looking to be an investor or who is an investor, this is how you determine whether or not it's a good property or not. So make sure you stay tuned.
And there's a lot of misconceptions about the cap rate, too.
Yep.
All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, all positive, all the time. We'll be back.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
Greentree Mortgage invites you to connect with the Mortgage Mom, Deanne Katsaros, the co-host of Good News in Real Estate and a five-star real estate expert in the Delaware Valley. Let the Mortgage Mom answer your questions, help you with a mortgage, provide answers for you about your current home, while always educating you about home ownership, including home purchase and finance options. Deanne Katsaros, the Mortgage Mom, NMLS 143589. Click mortgagemom.net. That's mortgagemom.net.
If you're planning on listing your home for sale, get your home updated and don't pay anything until the house sells. Really, it's that simple. Curbio, your first stop with your agent before you list the property, and your one stop for getting everything from painting and flooring to full home renovations. Go to Curbio.com, sell your home for a higher list price, and realize an average 215% return on investment. It's stress-free, it's turnkey, and the process is easy. Go to Curbio.com.
Philadelphia Real Estate Classes, the premier real estate school in Philadelphia, has been voted one of the top five real estate schools in Pennsylvania. And it's no wonder. They offer live streaming and live instructor online courses to get your real estate license. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Total cost, only $4.99, including the book. Day, night, and weekend courses are available. Call 267-266-5501 or go to PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com. Get your license now.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
So, Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is what is a good cap rate and how do we calculate it?
Yeah, and the cap rate gets thrown around a lot, and a lot of people, they think they know what it is. And it's not a cure-all for everything, a cap rate. Somebody just tells me a cap rate, I actually want to know more. But right. Otherwise known as a capitalization rate is one of the most important fundamental indicators for determining whether a property is worth pursuing, like you're buying an investment piece. You know, not surprisingly, cap rates have proven instrumental in building some of the most prolific real estate investment portfolios, and there's no reason it couldn't help you do the same. In fact, I'd argue you can't even build halfway a decent portfolio without knowing what a good cap rate is. It's important. Therefore, it's in your best interest to understand what a cap rate is, how to use it to strengthen your investment efforts. And the cap rate, meaning in the realm of real estate, cap rate functions as a benchmark. You know, it's a ballpark. It's not everything, but it's a ballpark. Right. To determine and compare the return investment for a variety of commercial residential investments. In the simplest form, a cap rate is nothing more than an equation, one that will identify how much an investor stands to make or lose if they end up buying the property in question. However, it's worth noting that the cap rate won't provide investors with the exact amount they stand to gain, but rather an estimate. As a result, cap rates are no more accurate than the stock market predictions. They are subject to inherent degree of error, should be taken with a grain of salt. Capitalization rates are not intended to act alone and should instead should be used in conjunction with other metrics. Cap rate by itself is almost useless. And this happens to me. I got an email yesterday from a realtor, and it's got a 10 cap rate. Well, I'm not impressed. So still, a cap rate with a supplement data and information. Yeah. If you give me some more info, maybe the cap rate makes sense to me. Well, it mitigates the amount of risk the investor is willing to be exposed to over the course of the investment. And here's how you calculate a cap rate. And it's a formula. You take your net operating income. So if it's a rental unit, what you're bringing in, your current market value times 100 is the capitalization rate. For important as the capitalization rates, they aren't as complicated to calculate as you would assume. In fact, learning how to calculate a cap rate requires nothing more than some basic math skills. It's not that difficult. Although before you start calculating your cap rate, you need to know two things. What's the property's net operating income? So that is all the money coming in minus the expenses, like everything. You know, you got to figure all that out. Just by, if you give me a cap rate and you don't have every little expense in there, then the return on investment is not going to be right. The amount it would cost to buy the property. Then it's worth pointing out that calculating the property's cap is contingent on gathering correct information. Therefore, you need to mine due diligence and make certain that you can pinpoint the net operating income. To do so, estimated rentals, annual revenues, then subtract your total operating expenses. For more information, you can look, Google this up yourself too, but consider occupancy rates. That's another little issue that they might not have thought about. Like, is your building 5% empty, 10% empty, all that? That's an expense. If you got an empty apartment in your building, that's an expense. That's not income. So you got to know about that too. And so you got to have all this into consideration when you're figuring out, you know, when it comes time to do your due diligence, it's a good idea to adjust your net operating income for less than a perfect occupancy rate. You know, if you bought a 25 unit building, there's a chance that it's not going to be 100% occupied at all times. So then that affects your income ratios. So the gross rental income, the occupancy rate, operating expenses will equal the net operating income. So the formula allows you for 5 to 10% loss on average. This is what most investors think, 5 to 10% loss on vacancy rates. But right now, I don't think in our area, it's even hard to get in a damn apartment. But I'll give you a cap rate example. Say you're purchasing a property for $1 million. It grosses $100,000 a year through rent and it has total expenses of $30,000. So your net operating income would be $70,000, right? $100,000 minus $30,000. To calculate the cap rate, you divide the net operating income of $70,000 by the purchase price of $1 million, giving you a 7% cap rate. And it can be broken down: purchase price $1 million, property income $100,000, property expenses $30,000, income is $70,000 because it's $100,000 minus $30,000. So your cap rate's 7%. And what's a good cap rate? Around 4 to 5%. I remember I was at a training class a long time ago with Anna Green out in Denver, and their cap rates were like really bad. And I was like, and this guy was buying office buildings. I was like, why don't you buy one in Philly? We got great cap rates. And he was like, well, I said, does it matter where your 35-story building is? really? Let your accountant send you a check and a profit and loss every month. But you know, in general though, cap rates 5 to 10% are pretty good. I don't know. Right now I think the cap rate in Philly is around 7%. But this guy sent me a thing. He says, it's 10%. Like, it's automatically a great deal. Now, I'm going to have to see some more detail before I pass that on to one of my investors. But it's still an opinion until you get all the statistics. It's like everything else in life. You know, you can't just say, well, the cap rate's 7%. All right. Did you take everything into consideration? Every expense, vacancy rates, all that? Rent rolls, let me see the rent rolls. And then all of a sudden I look at the rent rolls and they got 3 units that have been empty for a year. Like, why? Well, we were going to fix them up, but we never got to. There you go. That affects it. So, you know, don't just say somebody tells you it's a great cap rate. You want more detail. But it's not that, it's not rocket science. That little formula will do it.
Right.
You know? Any comments there from the gallery?
No, I mean, and the cap rate is also going to increase as well as the rents increase. So
yeah, and rents are going up. They're predicting close to 7% next year. That's going up 7%.
You got to know your
number. Need to buy, man, in Philly. 48%. I can picture this group now. I'm starting to, it's 48%.
All right. Great topic as usual, Mark. And coming up next is going to be our business segment with Asking Dr. A, and it's managing your emotional intelligence.
How are you, Dr. Abelson?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are good. So start us off.
All right. Well, we're really going to be talking about social awareness, which is, I must have misrepresented it when we started to talk about it a couple of minutes ago, Dan. Social awareness is the extent to which you're aware of other people's emotions. Okay. So what I want to do, last time we talked about social awareness, we gave a definition. This time what I want to do is really want to talk about some different techniques that you can use to be more socially aware, because what happens when you demonstrate your social awareness for somebody else, it opens up the conversation. And at the same time, it helps them understand that you get what's going on for them. A lot of people, what they do is they become sympathetic. For example, and I'll use divorce as an example since so many people get divorced, but I know how you're feeling. You know, I got divorced a couple years ago myself, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And the truth of the matter is, you don't know how I'm feeling.
No.
Because everybody feels differently with all that.
That's
kind
right.
Of
you
stuff.
Don't have a clue.
Right. So instead of being sympathetic and say, I know how you're feeling, empathy is reflecting feelings. So what you can do instead is to say, well, are you feeling surprised? I mean, was it something that you initiated or something that they initiated?
Yeah, they might say, I'm really good.
Yeah, I feel relieved.
I'm glad I'm out of that thing. I'm free.
There's all kinds of responses, but the best way to find that out is instead of telling them, you know, how they feel, you ask them how they feel.
Right.
And one way to do that is just to reflect possible feelings back. I mean, you can look at their nonverbals, you know, if they seem to be calm or happy about it, then you can reflect those types of feelings. If they seem to be concerned or upset, you know, or they really don't want to talk about it, you know, then you can reflect those types of feelings back.
You know what's interesting about that? I had an experience at my house. They had a party at my house, all these young kids, and they're all at my bar downstairs, right?
Uh-huh.
And they all start a conversation with me, and it seems like they have like the attention span of a flea. It's like they ask me a question, I start telling them, and I can just by looking at them, they're already wandering away,
right?
You know, but now me and Deanne she was at my school last week, and now there's a bunch of strangers we don't know. They're students, newbies, and the conversation gets, and then we get them involved, and then all kinds of stuff comes out.
Yep,
you know, because you asked,
right?
And
well,
you let them talk.
And another technique is, and I heard this first from a very famous realtor in Dallas, Virginia Cook. You know, we have two ears and one mouth, and we should use it in that proportion. So we should be listening twice as much as we're talking.
And yeah, that's what I learned from you. And my favorite line is when I meet people is I say, what's the most important thing you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't say anything.
And then they tell me, and then I answer. You know, instead of focusing on you, the more that you can demonstrate that you really care about that and are concerned about them. And that's what opens up the conversation, not about how knowledgeable you are, but how much you care.
That's right. And I was talking to these students last week when we were talking about, you know, doing a buyer needs analysis and a seller's needs analysis. And I told them it's a simple trick. Just ask them what's the most important thing you want to talk about and then shut up. And then they'll tell you what is the most important thing. Rather than going in and try to sell yourself, I'm a great realtor, and my office does this and that, blah, 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 blah.
They don't care.
In an interview, the person who talks the most is usually the one who feels best about the interview. So if people are interested in emotional intelligence, or they're interested in a certification program, or just want to talk about it, give me a holler at 979-575-3211 or email me at Abelson, A-B-E-L-S-O-N, at Abelson.net.
So what are you going to talk about next week?
We're going to get into social regulation, which is the fifth component of emotional intelligence.
All right, very good. All right, thank you, Dr. Abelson.
Thank you, Dr. A. If you have any questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can also email me at dnketsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in every week, our sponsors for keeping us on the air all these years. We hope to make you a faithful listener. You can listen to this show, past shows at our website, Good News from Real Estate, where every Saturday at 1 o'clock we're here on Talk Radio and Odyssey. So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate. If you'd like to contact Mark Cumberland or Deanne Katsaris or listen to any of their past shows, go to goodnewsinrealestate.com. This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Good News in Real Estate or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. This program has been pre-recorded.